Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right, Bob in Watsontown brings up many outstanding points. And Bob is coming from a position of ideology, and that's wonderful. I think that's great. But there's also some realism involved here, too. And the realism is, number one, the rules, which, look, what college basketball does is dictated by the NBA. It is not dictated by college. It's not. The colleges, hey, they can have their rules shaped however they want. Okay, guaranteed four-year scholarship. Now they're going to offer a stipend. For example, here at Penn State, it's over $4,700. It's going to be, starting next year, Penn State, I believe, will be number one in the Big Ten, offering $4,788 for 9 months as a stipend. On top of those who qualify, who can get $5,800 in Pell Grant money. $5,800. And you get your 24/7 meals. That's what's happening here. It's going to cost Penn State about $1.7 million. But, for example, the stipends are different for different schools. Purdue, for example, it's $1,900. And that's what someone talked about, is that there's going to be a stipend difference, for example. Between Ohio State and Michigan. All right. This is coming up now as one of the difference makers. Now, Bob's talking about, are they better off? I'll be honest with you. Better off? You can't look at Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and some of the others and not say they're not better off. Remember Greg Oden, Daquan Cook, and Mike Conley played 1 year at Ohio State, then went? Okay. Greg Oden had microfracture surgery on his knee. He still ended up making millions of dollars, despite not playing often in the NBA. Mike Conley's had a great career with the Memphis Grizzlies. Daquan Cook's been in the NBA. Those are Ohio State's here tomorrow, so I'm using them as an example. Wouldn't anybody want to get that kind of contract coming out of college? Now, the rules make them go to college for a year. Do you really believe, for example, that Carl Anthony Towns of Kentucky, Okafor from Duke, if there's no rule and they can just go straight, they all would have gone straight to the NBA. They wouldn't have gone to Duke and Kentucky respectively. And Bob's correct. Bob understands idealistically what college means and all the benefits of what college means. So, Bob, I'm with you all the way on this. From a position of ideology, I'm all the way with you in this. I've broadcast basketball and football for years and years and years. So, Bob, I'm on the same page idealistically what college can mean. And what a great experience it is to go through and play 4 years of college, whatever. I don't care if it's lacrosse, football, basketball, soccer. The benefits are incredible. The network opportunities, incredible. But realistically, John Calipari is not breaking a single rule when it comes to this. I don't know what he's doing, but when it comes to eligibility, he's not breaking rules. And guess what? The fans of Kentucky love it. Now, college is about to change, too. Talked about the stipend. Here are the stipends of the Big Ten. Penn State, $4,788. Wisconsin's next. They can offer $4,265. Nebraska can get to $3,544. Indiana, $3,036. Maryland can offer $3,024. They're the only schools in the Big Ten with stipends over $3,000. Ohio State can go $2,454. Meanwhile, Michigan can go $2,054. Michigan State is at the bottom at $1,872. Now, this is how it's done based on the school and how it's done. And that's from collegedata.com. Those are the expected stipends that each school can hand out. No offense, but that's a recruiting advantage. If you're sitting there as a young man, for example, and it's down to Michigan State, Penn State, you're going to get the Pell Grant's $5,800, and you qualify for the Pell Grant. So you're going to get the $5,800 either way. It may not seem like a lot of money on paper, but maybe to a 17 or 18-year-old, seeing $1,872 at Michigan State and seeing $4,788 at Penn State and a difference there of $2,900, almost $3,000, that is an advantage. And that's the direction college is going in right now. It's not college from way back when. Get back to it in a moment. Accident is closing Route 11 near the Danville Boat Club. The road is closed in both directions. So if you have to travel Route 11 and you go by the Danville Boat Club on your route, find an alternate route.
Yeah, your choices are going to be Route 45 from Lewisburg to 642. Can also, and this may not be a great route on a day like today either, is go on the opposite side of the river. Take the back way from Sunbury into Riverside. So, again, the options are really limited on a day like today. But Route 11 is closed there again for the second time this week, I might add, right there near the Danville Boat Club and Bald Top Road.
So just remember that, all right, as you go through. Colleges, we're entering into a new era. Obviously, I would love to see the old era of you go through, you go 4 years, maybe five, you get your degree, you go on and you play in the pros. Bob and I are completely on the same page with that. But that's not the system. That's not the system. The system is in football, once you're done with your third year, you then have options as to whether or not you want to stay, whether you not, or you want to go. Usually by the end of that third year, you have a pretty good feel about where you are as a player. But that's the rule in football. Allen Robinson left here after 3 years. Jesse James left after 3 years. Donovan Smith was here 4 years, played three. Deion Barnes was here 4 years, played three. Mike Hall was here 5 years. And I know in college, but in college basketball, this is what I hope Bob understands. How many guys leave one and actually leave after 1 year? You know what the number was last year? Eight. Eight. Now let's take this, just the 65 power conference schools only. Say each one of the Power Five schools has four freshmen on it. All right? And this is just the Power Five, so there's 65 of them. So that excludes UConn, that excludes SMU, it excludes the, you know, the American schools, Temple, excludes the Big E schools, the Power Five schools, because it's just easier to work the numbers. You're talking 260 freshmen. Of the 260 freshmen, 252 did not opt for the draft. So while Kentucky appears to be doing this en masse, not quite en masse as some people think. For example, Willie Cauley-Stein and the Harrison twins. Okay. You know, the Harrison twins are sophomores. Cauley-Stein, I think, is a junior now. And Cauley-Stein has now played himself into being one of the top 10 picks in the draft. He's unbelievably good. He's really he plays with a more coordinated, passionate game now. And if the NBA wants to opt for having a more immature league, so be it. But young people have to be able to make their own decisions. Now, obviously, they may be influenced by family members. They may be influenced by entourage. Why a 19-year-old has entourage, I don't know, but they do. Whatever their influences are, at some point, it is not my responsibility to protect them from that. Now, is it the responsibility of John Calipari? I believe it is. I think this is where Bob's coming from as well. It's John Calipari's responsibility to look at said player and say, you know what? Let's take Aaron Harrison as an example. Aaron, you're not ready yet. That, to me, is one of the responsibilities of a coach right there. Not to convince. And the other part, too, is if somebody's ready to go, it's also your responsibility as a coach to look at them and say, you know what? I've called around. I think you're ready, and they think you're going to be a top pick. That's also your responsibility. That's where Dean Smith was brilliant. And that's what Joe Paterno did. Maybe later in their careers, but one after another. I don't care if it was Todd Blackledge or Mike Munchak, who still had eligibility remaining at Penn State. He called around. And he said, look, you're going to be one of the top 10 guys picked. And they each got their degree, because that was the rule back then. But guys now, Kajana Carter, for example. You're going back into the 90s, where Joe made some calls. He said, look, they think you're going to be the first overall pick of the draft. He told them to go. The one guy I remember Joe didn't tell going was Richie Anderson. He said, it really would behoove you to spend another year. And it turned out Richie carved himself out a nice 10-year NFL career and made the Pro Bowl once. Okay. Richie still left with eligibility remaining. Joe thought he should come back for another year. But that's the responsibility of the coach, to be well-connected enough and have the trust of the player to look at the player and say, I've talked with some people. I think you're ready. They think you're going to be drafted here. I don't think you're ready. They think you might be a 15 to 25, but if you come back another year, you might be able to get into the top 10, and we can talk about getting an insurance policy. That's the responsibility of the coach right there, to not only coach his team, but also be the kind of advisor that gives them good, solid advice. Good, solid advice that helps them in their career. Of A, letting them know if they're ready, and B, knowing where they might be drafted. With a coach doesn't, where it's, hey, wait, stay here. Pull the old Butch Davis, where he said to Bryant McKinney, hey, stay at Miami one more year, we'll win a national championship together. And McKinney had until, I think, Friday of that week to declare for the draft. So McKinney decided to come back. 5 days later, Butch took the Browns job. I know where Bob's coming from, but this is not college and pros of the 60s and 70s any longer. It's all changed. And And when it comes to college basketball, the NBA Players Association is the one running the show. It's not the colleges. It's not the NCAA. It's not the conferences. In some ways, it's not really the NBA. It's the Players Association that won't budge off of one and done. They won't budge. And with the right to work laws, you can't look at somebody and say, hey, you come here, you're going to have to sign an X amount of scholarships. So I'm going to sign a scholarship to go to Penn State and spend 3 years there for getting my $4,788 a year stipend and my $5,800 Pell Grant and my food and so forth, as opposed to, what do you mean I could have been one of the top five picks and I could be making millions now? It's hard for anybody to turn down. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Okay, so at Penn State, for example, if you say you go 5 years, and the numbers stay the same, and you qualify for a Pell Grant, and most athletes, not all, but I'd say, 75% of student athletes qualify for Pell Grants. You're talking about the ability to get $10,500 a year, which means over the course of 5 years, as an example, you can pick up $52,500. I mean, $52,500 you can pick up over a 5 year span. And you don't have to pay for college, you don't have to pay for your books, you don't have to pay for your room and board. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to pay for food. So the numbers, again, Penn State would be number one of the Big Ten, 4,786. Wisconsin would be two at 4,265. Nebraska, three at 3,544. Indiana, four, 3,036. Maryland, fifth at 3,024. Rutgers, sixth at 2,763. Illinois is seventh at 2,500. Ohio State is eighth at 2,454. Northwestern is ninth at 2,326. Minnesota is 10th at 2,194. Iowa is 11th at 2,128. Michigan is 12th at 2,054. Purdue is at 1,920. They're 13th, and Michigan State would be 14th at $1,872. Those are the numbers. Now the Pell Grant is always the 5,800 number. That's the cap number. But that's the era we're in now in college. That's where we are. Simple as that. And one and done's right now is the rule. And if Kentucky goes out there and eight guys get drafted. Now, do they ever hit a bump in the road? Well, 2 years ago, you do recall 2 years ago, Kentucky wasn't even in the NCAA tournament. They won the national championship in 12 with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Anthony Davis and so forth. But they weren't even in the tournament in 2012. In fact, they played in the NIT, and they lost in the opening round at Robert Morris. Last year, they were an eight seed. Well, as an eight seed, they won their way to the Final Four. They won the way of the championship game, in fact. So I think that's the other part, too. How many national championships, Kevin, has John Calipari won at Kentucky?
I don't know. How many?
Take a guess.
Four.
One.
But that's all right. He's not in there to win national championships.
I'm just saying, you know, but your perception is the average perception.
Because he's been successful, he must have won more.
Right. He's won one. And wasn't even in the tournament 2 years ago. Was an eighth seed last year. I'm not here to defend him. I'm not defending John Calipari at all. I'm just telling you what the reality is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Spiegelmeyer, known for years, class act. Good that Mark will have him on tomorrow.
Who don't you know?
I don't know. It's so icy here that the University Park campus has done something they rarely do. Early dismissal.
Wow, that is rare.
Students were sent home at 4 today. Faculty and staff are told to leave here at 4:30 today.
We do have an accident.
Danville boat ramp area.
Yeah, the boat club area and Ball Top Road in that vicinity again. Second one already this week, and that has Route 11 closed in both directions in Point Township there at the Montour Northumberland County line. And boy, it's making travel really difficult because now you're definitely using secondary roads, 45, 642, back away from Sunbury to Riverside, which I'm sure is, with all the sleet falling, a little bit slick right now. So as you head home at 4:30 or 5, please take your time.
So that is in Danville. All right, and roads getting worse across the area. Be safe as you travel. Take it really easy. Really easy.
Even if you have four-wheel drive.
Four wheels can slip just as easily as two. So please, please be careful. Now tonight, more of this tonight. And then tomorrow's supposed to rain, and then it's going to change to snow again. We might see 3 to 6 inches of snow tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Feel bad I bought the golf membership.
You might get to use it by July.
Well, no, I don't. Not, that part I don't feel badly about. The part I feel badly about is that the day after I bought it, this started.
Oh, so you're the reason.
I've been able to mess up everybody.
I'm starting to develop Lake Hur in my backyard. The ground's still frozen, but the top part is thawed, and it's now ponding in my yard. Well, it's not going anywhere.
No, it's not.
Steve, I got Mike from Mifflinburg that has a really good question for you.
Yeah, by the way, the reason I can't see it is whatever on your end dropped out.
Okay.
That's the reason I can't see it. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great, Mike.
Yeah. Question was, you've been talking about these stipends that are going to be in effect here soon for college. Where did those numbers come from? Why is Penn State higher than Ohio State? And, you know, where did the actual amounts, how did they come up with those?
I think they did it based on the in-state, out-of-state tuition numbers. And I think that's how it was done. for room, board, and so forth. For example, if you go out of state to Penn State, it's $47,456. In state, it's $34,506. If you go to Purdue, it's $42,124 out of state, but it's only $23,322 for the entire combo of tuition, books, room, and board to go to Purdue in state. I think that's where they came up with the numbers based on how much it costs to go to each university. And as we know, Penn State is one of the more expensive public universities in the country.
Right. Okay, I was just curious, was listening to you there, and I was like, well, how did they come up with those numbers?
Right, and you know what? And to be honest with you, Mike, when they first came up with this, I thought it was going to be a standard number for everybody across the board. I never realized there would be this kind of difference, but they figured out on what it costs in-state, what it costs out-of-state at said school for the entire package deal. This is also going to be then divvied up for those who have partial scholarships as well. They won't get the full number, but it'll be up to the coach as to how those numbers work out.
Well, it's definitely, I think it would create an advantage, especially if you're undecided and, you know, like you said, between Penn State and Michigan State. If I'm an 18-year-old and I'm going to get an extra couple of grand, that might help me decide.
Mike, I'm with you. I think it does make a difference, and I your point is spot on in my opinion. Mike, thank you. Appreciate the time. You're welcome, buddy. All right, let's go to Joe in Greensburg. Hi, Joe. How have you been?
Good, Steve. How you been?
Hey, I'm well, thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you were talking about yesterday with Penn State basketball. I thought your points were very well stated. But I do have one exception to the whole thing that's been going on this year. And I think I talked to you about it before. But, you know, Penn State has a lot of chances to win games down the stretch. And
agreed.
Again, I saw it in this past game against Iowa where DJ Newbill, a senior, failed. And I don't know if it's fatigue on his part, but he has at least four or five games either turned the ball over, made a crucial mistake at the end. And to me, that doesn't bode well showing those younger kids how to win a game. And I'm a little concerned about that with the younger kids on that team. I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah,
First of all, I agree with your point. DJ last year hit some big plays last year. Okay? Won the game at Ohio State, the game here with Ohio State. Early in the season, won a game with Cornell at the end. But your point, tripped and fell, tripped over Ross Travis, threw the ball away the other night. Your point is very well taken. I'm on the same page with you.
But as it
translates to other players, I'm a big believer that everyone has their own individual tolerance as to how they do things. And I don't think seeing one guy do that rubs off on how you do things.
Probably not. It would have been great to just win some of those games. Because I think that really would instill confidence in those younger kids. But
You are so correct, Joe. I agree with you completely because success breeds success, which is exactly what you're saying.
And that really concerns me that we're not winning any of these games. But you know, each year's different, so we'll have to see how things happen next year. But I do have another question. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but he does have a really nice recruiting class coming in next year. How do you feel? I mean, are you hearing anything about the following year? I know they got one kid committed, but he's, you know, way off before he can sign. Are a lot of kids taking interest, and you think that he has a chance to land some more kids like he did this past year?
They had three players in this weekend that were all four-star players.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, that's good. So that's the kind of groundwork you're attempting to lay here, Joe. And if you can get, and your current players are going to be your best recruiters. And if, let's take the three guys, obviously by name, you know, I can talk about. I can talk about Josh Reeves. I can talk about Mike Watkins. I can talk about David Zagulis. I can't talk about the young man that's verbal for the year after.
Right.
But those three guys can really help then recruit the next group.
Right.
Because your players are very important. Just like Christian Hackenberg and Adam Brenneman and people like that have been so important in recruiting players to come here. Austin Johnson, guys like that have been so important in the football recruiting. It's the same story in basketball recruiting. And DJ Newbill, by the way, has been very important in the recruiting aspect for a lot of these guys as well. So DJ's influence goes beyond the 1,994 points. He's had some winning moments, and he's had some not-so-winning moments, as you pointed out. But he's also been a big help in terms of helping them open up a Philadelphia pipeline because, as you and I both know, that if you put down a radius of 150 miles around State College, it is devoid, for the most part, with an exception here or there, of Power 5-level basketball talent. You have to go into the Philly area. You've got to go into the D.C. area. And the three recruits that are up this weekend to visit for the Iowa game on Saturday were all from that Philly-based area.
Yeah, that brings me back to where I'm really concerned about. You know, you have these Philly guys like DJ Newbill. I'm sure it's going to be his job trying to get these kids to come to Penn State. But the losing part of it, I don't know if that's going to scare some of these kids away. I hope not. But, yeah, that's my biggest concern with class 2016. I mean, I think if they can win next year, but that's a big if.
Well, sure, it's always going to be. But you have to be able to build something, and at least on paper, and it's only paper because I've seen these guys in camps because they were here at the camp, so I've seen them. They bring something to the table here I haven't really seen as a collective group. Watkins can play inside, and I think he has a chance to be a very good college inside player. Yeah. Reeves has quickness, can get the ball to the bucket. He is a scorer. And Zagulis is a combination three-point guy and passer. That's a nice combination of three guys that I think can make a difference, albeit they will be very young as a part of next year's team. Hopefully then they can bring not only the one young man that's already verbaled, and then maybe one or two of the guys that came here this weekend. Now you really got something cooking here where it could start to get exciting as time goes. Because the bottom line is, you and I both know, talent makes all the difference in the world.
No question. One other thing, I'll let you go. And I never thought I'd say this, but I'm of the opinion that Penn State basketball needs somebody like Jerry Pegula to donate a lot of money because I think they need their own place to play. I don't think the Jordan Center does them any justice. You know, if they had a place like I've been to the Pete Pittsburgh, I hate to say it, it's a really nice place, and it's 12,000 people, and that's all I think Penn State needs. But I know that's wishful thinking, and that's probably never going to happen.
Well, but, Joe, first of all, let me tell you right now, I am 100% with you on the observation. Let's talk ideology for a moment. This is all, let's do a little pie in the sky, have some fun here for a moment. Penn State needs exactly what you talked about, a 12,000 seat, maybe even 10 to 12,000 seat.
Right.
Basketball only arena, all seats facing the court, all seats as close to the court as they can be.
Oh, man, I agree.
They need a practice facility that has two gyms in it, which is now the standard at a lot of the power schools in the country. Okay, a large enough practice gym that has two gyms in it, one where the women can practice anytime they wish, one where the men can practice anytime they wish. They need a brand new training room. They need a training room that has a hot tub and a cold tub, where they're not taking ice bags and putting it into a tub and turning it into a cold tub. They need a separate cold tub and a separate hot tub to go in this training room area that goes with it. The weight room would need improvement as well. A training table area, which, by the way, they are getting. They're getting the training table, a new area for that. They are getting, thanks to Peter Tombros, a brand new film room. Peter and Ann Tombros donated $500,000 for that. But that's what you need. And then branding, Joe. Branding has to take place across the entire George City. Even something as simple as a concession stand needs to be branded in a Penn State basketball way instead of just saying concessions. You have to make everyone believe within the building that the number one priority in the building is your product and not Britney Spears.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to happen in my lifetime, but I just think that's probably a thing that's really needed, and where's the money going to come from?
Exactly right. You would need a Terry Pegula to do something like that. So now you have the Jordan Center, which is run by Housing and Food Services. Now, the job for them, and let's be fair to the people that run the Jordan Center, their job, Joe, is to book as many dates in there as possible because you don't want the building empty. That's part of what they do. That's why when you hear Bon Jovi's there for 8 days, well, for 8 days, Bon Jovi rented out the Jordan Center. That's part of their job.
Yeah.
Now, does it hurt the basketball program when you do that? Yes, it does. But at the same time, if you have the proper facilities, like two practice gyms, you overcome that actually with relative ease by having that built in place. There's nothing you can do inside that the arena itself, Joe, to actually improve it. And the reason being is this. I've heard people compare the Jordan Center to the Breslin Center at East Lansing. Yes, the same architect was used, but they're different buildings. The Breslin Center is a far tighter, far more circular building as opposed to the Jordan Center, which is more of an oval. And because of that, they were able to retrofit the bottom of it and put the students all around it and tight to the court because they were putting a circle together. Because of the Jordan Center's longer end zones, you can't really do that. So you have to figure out how to do the best you can with what you have at the moment. And it's, as you said, it's not a current great help to what you're trying to do.
No, it's not good. I mean, it's just not a good facility. I mean, I think I'm sure they're making money, but for Penn State basketball, it was a big mistake.
But, well, I agree with you. There's no question, Joe, but that's what you have. So now here's the next part. All right? If you win, I think you can probably get, on the average, 7,000 to 8,000 on a Wednesday night. I mean, bodies in seats, not just tickets sold.
Right.
7,000 to 8,000 on a Wednesday night, and probably get about 12,000 to 14,000 depending on the opponent on the Saturday, if you win. And that's the key. Winning is your biggest marketing tool.
That's how it was when the place first opened up, and you know, we had some decent teams. I mean, I went to a lot of games, and you know, a couple times 14,000 to 15,000 people on a weekend, and you would have 10,000 to 12,000 people there on a weekday. But you gotta win.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's the chicken and the egg.
All right.
Penn State's at a point right now in these close games where a sold-out building may actually get them 5 points just on the pure emotion of it.
Absolutely.
How you can lift a team. Except here's the problem. You're going into that brick wall now, that frustrating part of your program development where you're almost there, but not quite over it. And fans are saying, I'll show up when you win.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
I got to go. Good talking to you.
You too, Joe. You. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'll tell you right now, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament cannot get here fast enough.
Well, you said
that would mean that it's beautiful out, sunny skies, and hitting a golf ball that goes high into the sky and is backed up by mountains.
Or is a worm burner and just shaves the blades of grass.
I just described a majestic shot. Now we have to go and transition to your game.
I go to the realistic shot. You can be majestic all you want.
I'm telling you right now, we got to get Drew on the phone. I'm telling you, the cheddar is illegal.
It is not illegal. I've had it checked. It is completely legal. There is a blade on one side.
There's no way.
You have a problem with the cheddar because the cheddar's deadly.
Okay. If the cheddar was that good, why is it not? I mean, all the pros don't have one.
Why is that my fault?
You're bending the rules.
Hey, listen. Is it my fault that the pros haven't figured out the cheddar? You know why the pros don't have one? They never get in a situation where they need a cheddar. That's what it is.
I will admit that is a valid point.
They're either on the green or 50 yards off the green. They're not just on the fringe.
Now, look, we play team golf. Mahone, you, me, Drew, right? We play as a team. I have to admit the cheddar has benefited us over the years. I also do not mention it during the banquet.
It's all right. Cheddar's legal. Like it. Love it. I do.
How many strokes do you think the cheddar saves you?
In a year? Oh, at least 20.
Just in a round.
Oh, in a round?
In a round.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. Wow. You've seen my putting.
120 minus one is five.